It's the Brady and the Bunch podcast, presented by 101.3 The Game.
And by Brewetta Tea, a new and game-changing way to drink tea with no tea bags. Online at brewetta.com.
Welcome back. It is the Brady and the Bunch podcast, episode 38. Today is Tuesday, July 9th, and I'm very, very excited for this episode for a number of different reasons. We've got a great guest with a great story who we'll get to in a second, but I've got a great co-host in this episode, Mary Sensi from Star 92.9, who, Mary, you just joined me a couple episodes as a guest. Now you're acting as my co-host. Very excited.
I'm a fan. I'm like fanning. What is it? Fan?
You're fanning out.
Literally. So, losing it. Like super fan.
So I'm very excited. I had to have you as a co-host on this because it's well documented that you are our resident reality TV expert. And you and I have talked. I'm a closet reality TV fan. It's mainly sports, but I'm closet reality TV fan. My girlfriend has got me into reality TV. So the one I like the best is the Bravo series Below Deck, and it's the one where it follows the crew as they are the crew on a super yacht, and it's about their relationship with the crew, their relationship with each other, their relationship with the passengers, right. And so we have one of the stars of this season's Below Deck Mediterranean version from Burlington, Vermont. She's in studio with us now. We're joined by Anastasia. Anastasia, thanks for being with us. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, I know how I describe Below Deck to people. I want to know how you describe it to people and see if you agree.
Good question.
You know what I really love about Below Deck is that it is a very true representation of what happens in the yachting industry. And nobody knows about the yachting industry. It's this like crazy, like fairy tale kind of thing that nobody kind of knows about. And it's fun to be able to actually show what we do, because I come home and I try and explain it to my friends and family. They're like, you what? With who? How many hours do you work?
So did you do this before? Were you in the yachting industry before getting on this reality show?
Yeah. So I was in the yachting industry for almost 4 years. Wow. Actually working in the Mediterranean and mostly in the Caribbean.
So is that how you get on this show?
Yeah, pretty much. It's, you know, the yachting community is actually pretty, like, tight-knit. It's pretty small, so it's just kind of all word of mouth.
It does seem like the same clients a lot of times will come back each season.
It's funny because actually I think last season on Below Deck, I saw, you know, certain guests. I was like, I've had those people before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they were actually worse to me than they were on the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
So of course, because it's TVs.
Yeah. At the time we are taping this, we're four episodes in. So we won't ask you about what's to come or by the time this airs what we've already seen. But we're four episodes in at this point. How long for the filming of the show? Like, how many months were you actually on the yacht for that you filmed the show? Like,
Six weeks.
That's actually a lot less than I would have anticipated.
Yeah,
I would have thought it was more than that.
It's 6 weeks. It's 9 charters.
Wow.
So, you know, obviously, you know, doing 9 charters in 6 weeks, it's always just like, go, go, go. And you see, I mean, you can see it on our faces. And as the season progresses, we're all just like progressively more tired. We're all just like, yep.
Is it like that? Is it that way whether there's cameras around or not? Or
yeah,
do you have a little more energy with the cameras there?
I mean, honestly, like by week two, you know, even like our, you know, hair and makeup person was like, Anastasia, I know you're tired, but you need to try.
Wow.
She's like, well, you know, you get tired. You don't want to do your hair anymore. You don't really want to, like, moisturize or wash your face.
I'm tired.
I don't want to do anything.
Mascara on.
Yeah. And then there's definitely, like, scenes that I see. And I'm like, oh, I see what she's talking about.
are the charters each, like, a weekend? How long are these people on the yacht for at a given time?
So the charters are 2 days long.
Okay.
And then
They can do a lot of damage to the crew in 2 days.
Oh, honestly, like, it's very, very full on. We're working 16, 17, 18 hour days. I mean, and people think like, oh, they have help or it's scripted. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, the reason things get so heated and there's so much tension is because we have a lot of stress in our job and we work very hard. You know, that's real guests. That's real tips that we get at the end. So,
Speaking of tips, okay, last night's episode, First of all, Hannah lost it on, is it Mila? Mila.
Mila, the chef that can't cook so far.
Don't you have to go through a process to be a chef? Is that, or is that literally the producer said, like, let's have fun with this one? Or
No, honestly, like, everyone thinks that. They're like, oh, the producers planted her. But the thing is like, her resume was spot on. Like, the way she spoke and presented herself. And, you know, she fooled everybody.
She was like a French trained chef.
She was from the Cordon Bleu. And the thing is, too, is, like, she had photos from, like, the Cordon Bleu training school. She even had, like, the little, like, you know, kitchen towels and the little tote bags. Like, she had all that stuff. So
she
I was kind of like,
she microwaved steak. Yeah. I mean,
That's something I would do.
How did you get thrown into being the chef?
Well, basically, on my CV, you know, Captain Sandy had seen that I was a yacht chef. But here's the thing. My chefing experience is all self-taught.
Yeah.
And it was on smaller sailing vessels, not on 55-meter super yachts.
Right.
But Captain Sandy was like, we're in a bind. Like, we just need somebody to help Mila. You know, it's better than nothing. So she would, you know, you guys saw, she approached me and she was just like, can you please just like go and help?
You killed it last night. You killed it last night.
I think we're taping this on a Wednesday. This is Monday's episode. You keep saying last night. Just because you watched
it last night doesn't mean. I get up at 3 a.m, so I can't, I don't watch.
Oh my God, why?
So the next morning I'll watch it on like DVR.
Well, because her radio show starts at 5:30 in the morning. So.
Okay. So, I'm only up at 3 if I haven't gone to bed.
Yeah. Those days, I'm sorry.
I'm watching episode one, the first episode of the season, and they're introducing the crew, and it says, Anastasia from Burlington, Vermont. And I'm like, okay, number one, we got to get her on the podcast. But two, how did you end up in Burlington? Because you weren't born here originally.
Yeah, so so my mom was the head pastry chef for like this really prestigious hotel, and I wasn't there yet. She always had different chefs coming in and rotating, and she met an American chef, and they got married in Georgia.
Man.
Georgia, the country, the not country, Georgia, the state.
Yeah, the Republic of Georgia. Georgia, Tbilisi. And they got married. I was 2 years old, and he's a chef. He was a chef here in Shelburne at Perry's Fish House.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So he was the head chef there. We randomly moved to Vermont.
So what was, so you say about, I've been in yachting for 4 years at this point now. How did you get into it? Like, were you on Lake Champlain doing boating?
No,
how did you get into it?
Honestly, like, it was so random. I went to University of Vermont and I studied nuclear medicine. Like, absolutely nothing to do with cooking, nothing to do with yachting.
So she's a genius also. She can cook and she's a genius.
But I was bartending on the weekends at Sugarbush.
Wow.
And I met a ski patroller who, was coming into the bar a little bit too often.
Those ski patrollers,
they love to drink.
Mary knows more about them than I do. So.
And, you know, we kind of got friendly, and I was like, oh, what do you do in the summertime? And he's like, I'm a captain. I was like, of what?
Resby.
What are you a captain of? And so that was in January, and he's like, you know, actually, like, I'm having this private trip with my friends in Greece. You know, we need one more person to fill the boat. You know, do you want to come? Yeah, I know we like don't really know each other that well. I was like,
so like, sure, I'll just drop everything and go to Greece.
Straight up.
I was like, I've never been on a yacht. I've never even been on a boat. Like, this will be great. So between then, January and May, obviously we got a little bit more friendly and we started dating. We did the trip. It was 3 weeks. And by the end, he was like, you're an amazing cook. You don't get seasick. There's this industry where people like you and me can run people's like sailing yachts you know, smaller motor yachts. And I was like,
unbelievable.
And you don't get seasick. That would be my
problem. That's a good question. Yeah. I never even thought about that.
So I called up my boss. I was like, so I'm going to stay in the Mediterranean. She's like, saw that coming. okay. And then the hard part was calling my mom. Because, you know, like,
your parents still live here?
Yeah, they still live in Burlington. Calling my mom, she was like, you what?
Yeah.
Oh, she talks like that.
Yeah, she's like, I told you. You will be doctor or lawyer. I'm like, no, I think I'm going to actually go cook on boats. Is that cool? So she was pissed. But, I mean, she just wants me to be happy. So.
Yeah, look at you now.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I go back to Monday night's episode?
Let me ask one more first.
Okay.
Before we get too deep down the rabbit hole of the episodes, I need the background information first.
Go.
How much time do you spend in Burlington now versus out on the water?
You know, not as much as I'd like. When I come home, though, it is very special. Like, I've been home now for about 3 weeks. I'm going to be traveling all of July, and then I'll be home again in August for another 3 weeks. So when I am home, I just try and do as much as I can.
Did you go to high school here, too?
Yeah, I went to Burlington High School.
Okay, so has life changed now where, like, people you went to high school, college with, they see you around, and it's like, gosh, she's a big TV star now.
I mean, not so much. They're just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Run away. Just like every other person you meet from high school. Yeah.
Do people recognize you on the church street or anywhere?
Yeah, I've been recognized. I've been recognized the most at the airport.
Wow.
Luckily enough.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It was so funny. Even before the first episode aired, like the TSA agent was like, hey, you're going to be on that show. I was like, yeah, how did you know that?
Thanks. Do you like reality TV? Like, do you watch reality shows?
I mean, like, I've been living on boats with no cable
for the
last, like, years, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So, I mean, we would have guests come all the time and be like, oh, is your life, like, Below Deck? And I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, yes.
It is.
Like, actually, almost exactly.
Like, literally.
Minus the cameras.
I know. Are you familiar with Below Deck?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, going into the show, I was like, I need to watch every season.
No,
in other words,
the one that's not Mediterranean?
Yes, yeah.
So, like,
so
if someone would say Hannah or Kate, which would you rather work for or do you not want to say?
Well, here's the thing. I absolutely adore Hannah, and I would work with Hannah any day on any yacht. Kate is really sweet, but I've only ever really spoken to her over, like, Instagram.
So cool, like you talked to Kate.
Yeah.
She wasn't very nice to the Canadian girl that they brought on last season. She goes, you seriously need to check yourself when she was fighting with her.
That was the best line, though. So, check yourself.
Yeah. So,
seriously.
Kate's Instagram, I mean, her Twitter and her Instagram are so funny.
Yeah.
They both have such good one-liners. I'm like, how are you so quick?
So you guys will actually watch the season unfold as we're watching the season. Are you contractually obligated to, like, watch the show as it's going and live tweet during it and things like that?
No, but, you know, it's fun. Like, it's fun for the fans. It's fun for us. Like, you know, there's definitely some crew members that aren't really, like, into the social, and, like, that's fine. But the fans are like, where is so-and-so? Yeah. Like, we want to ask them questions. We want to talk. I think it's fun. It's interactive.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, I've been in the hospitality industry since I was 14 years old. I love talking to people. I can talk to anybody. So, like, I like it. I like the interaction.
On the show, you look like you're just easy to get along with. Because when they said you were from Vermont, of course, I sat there was like, please be the good one. And it's because you get along with everyone. You just are willing to step up, like Sandy, Captain Sandy says. Can I just?
Yeah, go ahead. So, now go down your rabbit hole.
All right, here we go. On the episode this past week, and we already know that Mila is not a great cook, and you stepped in. So then they left this amazing tip, like the biggest tip I think I've ever seen, and they split it evenly with everybody.
Yeah.
Feel free to answer this if you don't want to. A couple of people on the show are saying that they didn't think it was, and you did not comment, that they didn't think she should have got the tip or as much of a tip because you really stepped up and everybody else stepped up and she really didn't. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Here's the thing. As far as the tip goes, I think that, like, if you're on the boat and you're working, like, regardless of what happens, and this is up to the captain, the tip gets split evenly. And that is just how it is. You know what I mean? So, like, it is up to that crew member to be like, I don't want to accept this. You know, I'd rather have it be split amongst you guys. You did most of the work. So, you know, like, if somebody, say if I was sick the entire charter and I didn't do anything, I would give my tip away.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't accept it. But that's up to the crew member.
Yeah. I know. I agree with you, too. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I think she should have got it. She definitely is working. And she, you know, give her a chance.
And I mean, as terrible as a person she is, like, she's still.
Oh, she's not a nice person either?
What? Don't you remember the homophobic remarks from episode two?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought they got along in this past episode. Did he forgive her? Is that the right word?
It's not about forgiveness. It's just about, like, your perception of, you know, humanity. And it's wrong.
Yeah. But he was nice to her.
And that's the thing is, like, we're on a yacht and our goal is to give the guests a good charter and we need to work as a cohesive unit.
Yeah.
So regardless of what I think of Mila's personal opinions, I still need to be in the galley with her and being like, right here, let's work together. Let's do this. You got this. I have to make sure that I'm not letting her spiral into a hole because I need her to like prep stuff too.
Yeah, you know? You need, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You need a cooperation.
The tips are generally really big. Like, like the tips are massive. Is that the only way that you guys get paid or is there a base salary
for being a salary.
On the okay.
Yeah.
So,
wow. just like any yacht crew, you know, you get your salary and then you get your tips.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That is awesome.
Can I pick up a new industry? Is that
honestly, like it's not that hard. You get
how long would it take me to pick up yachting? Hey, you are the third stew, right?
Yes.
What does that mean? What is that position?
Basically, I'm like, can I swear?
we'll beep it out if it's really bad. So go right ahead.
I'm like the bottom bitch. So okay. Like I'm the one that like does the cabin, scrubs the toilets, cleans the showers, does most of the laundry. You know, I kind of just, I follow suit. So like whatever my chief stewardess says to do, that's what I'm going to do. And then, you know, I'll look to our second stew, Aisha, and be like, hey, am I doing this? Because she has a lot more experience in yachting, like super yachting than I did. So, you know, I look to her and be like, what else can I do? How else can I help?
Yeah, that's great. That's the way you move ahead, really.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah. Like I said, you're easy to get along with. They tell you to do something. You're like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah.
What else you can do? You're stuck like you said.
Yeah.
Well, since you don't really watch reality shows, I don't know if this would make sense, but is there any other reality show that you would want to think about being on if it wasn't this one? Like, this fits you because this is what you do for a living.
Yeah, you know, again, what I really love about this whole Below Deck and Below Deck Med franchise is that it is real. You know, like, nobody's telling us what to say. No one's telling us what to do. We're just doing our jobs, and it just happens to be exciting and fun to watch. I feel like on other reality shows, it's a little bit
scripted.
So it's not staged at all.
Like, no, literally nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's surprising. I'm in the camp that thinks, like, oh, it's something here is scripted.
I thought with the Milik Chef thing that it was definitely.
I mean, like, that would have been, like, the better thing, you know? Like, she's really just that terrible.
Oh, my God. So I was going to say, do you have any favorites, or does everybody get along equally for the most part?
I mean, obviously my interior team is definitely my favorite. Like, I love Hannah. I love Aisha. Like, it's so cool that all of us, like, boss babes can just, like, get along. We do our job. We have respect for the hierarchy. We have respect for each other. And it's cool to see like a group of girls like that really get along.
Is the yachting season only 6 weeks or
no.
Is that just how long you choose to
that's
work?
That's just the filming of this specific show.
Okay, gotcha.
The Mediterranean season is generally from like May to about September.
And do you work, obviously we're taping this in that window and you're not working it, but I mean, do you work mostly that season?
Yeah, that's the season. And then when that med season is over, the Caribbean season starts. So that's generally from like November to about April.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
What's the coolest place you've been?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Sailing around the Greek islands, it's just like insane.
And do you get to get off the boat and sightsee and do things? I mean, we see the crew go out and eat or party or whatever, but I mean, how much time do you really get in these places?
You know, it depends on the job too. It depends on if you're working like, you know, a kind of open charter, if you're more like on a private yacht, but you do get time sometimes to go out and like see things. And sometimes like the boat owner might like treat you and the crew to something. But there's also times when you'll be working for 8 weeks straight.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you do if you're just having a bad day? Like you cannot have a bad day.
No, you cannot have a bad day. And I mean, like I said, I've dated, you know, the person I'm working on the yacht with, and your cabin just becomes a really like toxic place because it's the only place where you can just be like, why are you such an idiot?
Yeah.
And then you have to come back up and be like, hi guys. Hi.
Wow.
Good morning. Yes. What, can I get you coffee?
What is it like living on? Because I think there's this misperception. I saw your interview you did with Local 2244 News a couple weeks ago, and you made a good point that I hadn't really thought of. Like, yeah, you work on the yacht. You also live on the yacht. What's it like living? I mean, it's an incredibly small space that you're living in.
Very, very small. Big boat, small space.
What do you bring for clothes? Because you guys look so good when you go out.
Yeah.
Like, where do you store those clothes?
Well, you know, we do have, like, closets and, like, places to put things in our cabins. But, you know, you have to live a very adaptable, kind of minimalistic lifestyle. And you just have to know that that's the name of the game, and that's what you choose. And honestly, like, we're in uniform half the time anyway, so.
Where's your favorite? Do you have a favorite place that you did visit?
In yachting?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all so good. I do love the Mediterranean, though. I mean, it's so special. It's so beautiful.
When you're packing for this minimalistic lifestyle, what's the thing that gets on the cutting room floor? What's like the last thing that you can't bring that you wish you had?
Like more clothes.
Shoes, clothes.
I love having options. I hate that.
Do you have a story about the most difficult client that you...
Oh, my God, yes.
All of them?
Oh, no, I mean, seriously. Some of them are really, really great, like, honestly. Like, the people who worked from the bottom to the top, and they worked hard, they appreciate you, they know the service you're giving them, and they say thank you and please, and they truly appreciate what you're doing for them. Like, and those people are more often, you know, our guests than the latter.
Yeah.
But, you have people and they come on these boats and they just want to have, like, they're like, we paid for this, so we're going to get everything we can. Like, just booze, 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 booze. And when people get drunk, they're sloppy. And then they're on a yacht, so it's like the safety issue. And then they're to you and you're just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
Think of the tip. Think of the tip.
Yeah. That's what I would be worried about, is the safety. Like, who's going to fall over this thing? That's what I'd be worrying about.
It is. It's a big safety issue.
And it's only a couple of days, too. It's not like a whole week or like the rest of your lot, you know.
Right. Like, yeah. When I was doing like term charters, like week long charters in the Caribbean, you know, they would go hard the first night and then they would kind of chill out. Then they'd have like another big night. And then they'd kind of like chill out. By the end, they'd all just be like, we just want water.
Yeah, right. That's like the week-long bachelor party that you're just done with.
But exactly.
What do you find is the most, like, common group of people? Is it, like, a married couple? Is it a group of high school friends? Is it a bachelor party? What's, like, the most common kind of group that you see?
I would say, like, the top two most common are families and then, like, friend groups. So, like, maybe married couples or other, like, usually in their, like, I would say 40s-ish. Because like, it's expensive. It's not a cheap holiday.
How much does it cost to go on a charter?
Okay, well, you know, on a 58-foot, three-story catamaran, it's anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000 for the week.
And then the tip, which is like $20,000.
The tip. But it's all inclusive, right?
And okay, that's true.
Like, it's all inclusive. Like, everything is included. The food, the booze, like everything.
Even Mila's microwave steak is included.
Yeah, exactly.
Sirocco, I mean, I'm not really sure on the exact figures, but I would say it's like upwards of like $40,000 for like 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really expensive. That's why it's so sad, because it's like these people paid so much to be here. And then to have that being served, it's so like, oh. Cringy.
Oh, I know.
Let's take a quick break from our talk with Anastasia to tell you about Brewetta Tea. You know, the super yachting business sounds pretty interesting. I can't wait to hear more from Anastasia. These yachts have everything from toys to booze to luxury furniture. You know what it's probably missing, though? Brewetta Tea. Brewetta Tea is the only loose leaf tea that you can scoop and be on the go just like that. And, you know, I keep telling you, it's revolutionary, because it is. They've got what's called the brew lid. And what I mean is there's a filter on the lid itself. So you've got loose leaf tea, no tea bags. There's no tea bags here. Loose leaf tea, you put it in, the lid filters it out. So you drink the tea and the tea leaves stay on the bottom and they don't get into your mouth, so you're not eating them. There's 17 different flavors, and the flavors are incredibly varied, from prickly pear delight to peach mango paradise and more traditional blends as well. Each cup is like a trip around the world, because we have flavors that come from around the world. Again, there are leaves, fruits, and spices sourced from India, Africa, China, and there's no tea bag or an infuser, so your flavors have room to grow. When Anastasia has to deal with the passengers on her yacht, what do you think they need in the morning when they're waking up from having all the fun the night before? They need that natural caffeine boost. They need Brewetta Tea. You need Brewetta Tea. If your business wants to order Brewetta Tea, you can do it online at Brewetta.com. That's Brewetta.com, Brewetta.com. Or locally, here in the Champlain Valley, we're lucky that our buddy Alex actually lives here. So he can drop it off at your business. He can bring it to you for personal use. You can email him, Alex@Brewetta.com. Alex@Brewetta.com. Brewetta.com. Proud sponsor of the Brady and the Bunch podcast.
Now back to the podcast.
Mary, you had a good question beforehand about the microphone. I'll let you ask it, but...
Well, I think it goes back to like the days with your hair back. You don't feel like doing anything, but you, what does it entail when you have to walk around with it? You have to be mic'd the whole time.
Yeah.
Is it like stuck on your back? Is it on your leg?
Yeah. So the first thing we have to do in the morning is we get up, we get dressed, whatever. And then we have to go to the mic guy. Before, we can't talk to anybody. We just have to go straight to
like
the mic guy.
Who has time for that? I mean,
it's just part of the job, you know. So you get this like strap that's like around your like midsection, like right underneath your boobs.
Yeah.
And then they like have to snake it up into your little collar and just clip. It takes like not even a minute, you know. And all the miking people are like super nice. It's just kind of gross when you're like sweaty and then you give it to them at the end of the day and you're like, I'm sorry.
Is everything you do filmed? I mean, can you have a private conversation at all in this experience?
No. Wow. You can have a private conversation with yourself in the bathroom.
That's about it.
That's it, though. I mean, and the thing is, it's like if, you know, if there's more than one person in the bathroom, like they have the right to film. And, you know, that's what you signed up for.
It's so funny because I think about that when they show you guys changing in your rooms.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally changing, like in front of the camera.
You forget that those cameras are there, though. Okay, like, honestly, after day two, I was like,
whatever.
How much attention does the camera crew have to pay to you guys? Because it was in the blast below deck. Below deck regular where the camera guy saved the one guy's foot from getting taken off.
And he's such a great guy too. He was on our season as
well. Oh
wow. Yeah. I mean these cameramen and women, kudos to them. They are so good at their jobs. They anticipate our movements. They know how to work around us. They do everything they can to truly be like invisible.
Can you tease the next episode?
Oh my God.
If not, I don't want you putting a spot and you don't have to at all.
That's okay.
It's just going to be like
Before she does that, remember, this is going to air about 2 weeks after we've taped it. So the episode you're asking her to tease will have already aired, so she can talk about it.
Right.
Oh, but I don't want. Okay.
But that's going to spoil it. She'll like spoil it for us, but she can talk about it.
Oh, that's right. I want to know.
So can't.
You can. I promise you, this will not air before the episode actually airs.
We can't say anything.
We can't say anything.
Promise on the yes.
So basically, okay, I'll give it to you in like a little teaser.
Okay.
Let's just say you'll be seeing more of me in the galley.
Okay.
What does the galley mean? Like this
it's the kitchen.
Okay, so fancy word. Is that just a yachting term?
Yachting term.
Okay.
Yeah. The galley.
Do you have to speak your own language on the yacht?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, when you're working in medicine, right, you're not going to say, you know, left arm. Like, you're going to speak in a way that, like, all doctors are going to understand.
Okay.
Because it's much more specific, right?
That's a good way to
put
it.
So when you're on a yacht, you have to say, you know, starboard side, port side, bow, stern, galley, saloon, bridge.
Why, when they're talking to you, when they're calling for your attention, do they say your name twice?
Oh, yeah.
It's like Adam, Hannah, like Joe, Jim. Like, I don't know.
I don't know if you've ever worked, you know, weeks on end with a walkie-talkie in your ear, but, you know, there's wind, there's people talking to you, whatever. So, like, you have to make sure that you are very clear about who you're calling, what you're doing. Because if I'm just like, Hannah, Anastasia, blah, 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 she might miss that. But if I'm like, Hannah, Anastasia, you know, the guests want a martini. You know, she can have time to be like, okay, I heard that. I heard my name. I'll respond to you when I can, or she'll respond to me right away.
Captain Sandy, super cool.
Yeah, she's
easy
awesome.
To respect.
Yeah, definitely. You know what's good about her is she just she has respect for the crew, and she's very easy to talk to. And she just ultimately wants everybody to succeed.
Yeah.
And she's very sweet.
And I love the way she was talking with
Joao.
He is so much better this season, and I think he got a bad rap last time. I don't know. Was it Mediterranean he was on last time?
Yeah.
But I think he got a bad... I liked him the whole time.
Yeah.
And even though he and Hannah were like...
he was a bit of a... player, I would say.
But shit happens.
You get drunk.
Yeah, exactly. And now I guess he got his heart broken by Brooke. Did that really happen?
You know, there's two sides to every story.
Okay.
Like, I'm sure that both of them did, you know, bad things to each other, but I don't really know much about their situation.
And then Colin doesn't seem to be, like, connecting with anybody. He's doing a great job. He's so fun, but he even said, he's like, I'm not connecting with anybody. Yeah. Of course, we're only a few episodes in. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely times where Colin has been like, thank you for being the only normal person here.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, you're welcome.
You guys do a reunion after all the episodes. Has that reunion already been taped, or does that reunion truly happen? So there's, like, a year of separation between the filming ending and you guys getting back together. How do you think that's going to be?
Well... it's also not guaranteed that we're doing a reunion.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, none of us really, like, know yet. But do one, it'll probably be, I think, maybe in August.
What's the determining factor if there gets to be a reunion?
Gosh, I have no
idea. If Andy Cohen, the head of Bravo, wants to?
Well, it's really interesting because I always look for the reunion of the Below Deck and I can never find it. So I guess it's just you don't need to have one.
Yeah, you don't need to have one. And also, like, sometimes they don't, sometimes they do.
Yeah.
It's kind of just, like, up to production.
You know, it feels like the dynamic on the yacht is the dynamic of most sports teams. You have players, you have coaches, you have assistant coaches, you have a general manager, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard is it to follow that hierarchy? Because I remember in the last Below Deck, the redheaded girl, she could not follow the hierarchy at all. She was like, I'm not for this, people telling me what to do. How hard is that?
But that's why people like that don't generally succeed in the yachting industry, because you do. You have to respect the hierarchy, because at the end of the day, it's not about like, you know, oh, I don't want to listen to you or whatever. It's about safety, because, you know, if captain says something, that's what we all have to do. That's how we have to follow suit. If your supervisor, your chief stew says, hey, this is this way, you have to follow suit, because there's a reason why she has three stripes in her lapel and you only have one. Hmm. So if you can't respect that dynamic and that hierarchy, then you don't really have any business being on a boat.
You have somebody that does your makeup and your hair. Do you ever not like what they do?
makeup and hair is done only for the...
when they welcome?
No, you know, no. When we're on the boat, that's all on us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They told her she had to try.
Yeah, they're like, you have to do better.
You don't even need makeup. You're like beautiful without makeup.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I definitely don't enjoy wearing makeup. I mean, like, I live in Sri Lanka, so I'm just like too sweaty to even like put it.
You live in Sri Lanka now?
Yeah. That's
why
my business is.
Why did you settle there? You have your own business?
Yeah. So it's a eco cafe and a yoga studio.
Oh my god,
that's so cool. I want to go to it.
Yeah, come in and visit.
You go visit. How many direct flights are there from Burlington to Sri Lanka these days?
For like a weekend.
It takes 24 hours just to get there. So.
So your mom is from Georgia, the Republic of Georgia.
Yep.
How much does that influence you in your, you know, do you embrace kind of the, you know, Russian heritage at all?
First of all, not Russian.
Not, okay. I knew I was going to say that wrongly. Now I apologize.
Not Russian, completely different language, different culture, different people. Georgia and Russia don't exactly.
Eastern
the best,
European influence? Is that more fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it is that thing like growing up that you could probably ask any kid who grows up with, you know, foreign parents. It's a different pressure. And you definitely have a lot more pressure on academics. You have a lot more pressure to fit in. You know, it's not always easy. Sometimes you get made fun of. But it's just something that, like, really drives me. And that's why I'm so determined and so driven with anything that I do. Because I'm just like, I don't know, maybe I feel like I have something to prove. Like, I belong here. Like, this is whatever. And it's funny because sometimes I'll get in conversation with people about, like, foreigners. And I'm like, well, I'm a foreigner. And they're like, oh, but you know, like, not like you. Hmm. And I'm like, wow.
Interesting.
When did you first notice that set of pressures? Was it very apparent when you were very young?
At a very young age, yeah. Hmm. My mom was, like I said, she's like doctor or lawyer.
Yeah.
You make our family proud.
That's such a good impression.
Well, it's your mom.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. No, my mom's great though. I mean, she's very open. Before, holy crap, like Eastern European women, like, you know, they're always like done up to the nines. They're just like hair, makeup, everything. And I'm like, we're going to the grocery store. And she's like, put your damn heels on, you know? But now she's like way more chill about stuff.
What is your, when you come back to town, favorite place you like to eat at? I love asking this question to people.
Oh, I love Pho Hong on North Winooski. Oh, my God. It's the best
food. I've never been there.
It's the best pho you'll ever have in your life.
The Vietnamese food?
It's Vietnamese food. Are you kidding me? You've never been there?
I am very much like pizza and wings guy. I'm so sorry, that is all terrible.
You need to go.
I am so sorry to be plain, but like my girlfriend has like expanded my taste palette very, very much. But like
Pho Hong.
At my core, I still just want pizza.
That's awesome.
Right.
I was doing Viet Thai. I like that.
So my mom was working at a Foligno's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The one in Burlington
she worked in Shelburne, and now she works at the one in Burlington.
The one in Shelburne I went to recently. I love that. I don't understand the business model there, though. The Foligno's pizza, it's also the Fiddlehead Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring your own beer in there that's not Fiddlehead beer.
So fun fact, Pho Hong is also a BYOB.
Really?
There's a reason to go.
There you go.
So I will try it for bringing my own beer at no cost.
Perfect.
But as far as like a really nice dinner, Hen of the Wood, I mean, those guys, they know what they're doing. Have you been there?
I have not been there.
In hotel room?
Yeah. Oh my God. Where have I been?
You need to go. It's so good.
Have you, now that you have the experience of being on a high quality yacht, can you go to a restaurant and evaluate it normally like us?
Yeah.
Or is everything you're judging like, okay?
Honestly, like even before being on that yacht, like I'm constantly judging. And what I'm judging is obviously the food, but what I also judge is service.
Yeah.
I am such a stickler on service because it doesn't take much to be a good server. So when I get service around here, I'm like, you know what? Let me just talk to you for 5 minutes and tell you like how you should.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah,
do you know what I do?
Do you know what I do? No, it just bothers me because I'm like, it doesn't take much to just be like in touch because like I've done your job. I've been the bartender. I've been the waitress. I've been the chef. Like I've been the busser. Like I've done everything in a restaurant. So like I understand the relationships and the inner workings and I know that the job is not difficult.
Wow.
So, I bet you do find some patience, too, sometimes if it 100%. Is a busy place and you're with people and they're like, oh, where's our meal? And you could be like, look,
but
I know
the
what's
thing
happening
is, the server has to handle it correctly, right?
So, yeah,
like,
right.
If
so
they
the
handle
attitude.
The situation well, I'm like, girl, no worries. Like, don't worry about it. I totally get it. And, like, I'm patient with the kitchen and everything. But when you're, you know... When you have attitude, yeah. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
People like,
you're working for a tip, and I know what it's like to yeah. work for a tip.
Yeah,
so
people say you should work in the service industry at least one time in
Everybody
your life.
Everybody should.
Yeah.
I never did.
Oh, my
so
God. Sometimes I'm like, have you even been to a restaurant? Like how?
Yeah.
How does, can you treat someone like that?
How does that impact your overall lifestyle? I imagine people who have been in the service industry generally do have a lot more patience.
We have a lot more patience, but we also hate people more.
Really? Oh, that's true.
I waited
what did
tables,
you do?
I waited tables and bartended for years. Yeah. For like
around here?
Not no. As a matter of fact, when I got up here, I decided not to do that and just do full-time radio. But I was in southern Vermont and in Connecticut. Always. Yeah. Ruth Chris Steakhouse. I was a bartender. It doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
I've heard of that. It's a good steakhouse.
Yeah, it is. And
yeah, you end up just like hating everybody.
I know. You go
but you also are like, it's so funny because like, it's so, like, double-sided, right? You, like, hate them, but then you're like, I will give you the best service and make you feel like my best friend.
Yes. Or I would love them, and I would be playful and joke and be fun and have fun with
them. That's why I love bartending. You can just get away with so much more crap.
One for you, one for me. Yeah.
What's your favorite place to get a drink here in Burlington when you're back home?
I love the spot on the dock.
Okay.
You do?
Also, I don't know if you guys have been to Monarch and the Milkweed.
No.
It's right next to American Flatbread.
What are all these places that I've never...
Obviously, I need to get out of the studio more.
Yeah, literally in here all the time.
Is this where you live?
It seems like basically. It at times. It's like, I like Ken's Pizza Pub. Like, what's wrong? And Manhattan.
I went there in like middle school.
Well, I still like it. What's wrong with that? I told you pizza, sandwiches.
You gotta step your game up. You're a grown man.
I know.
Damn, she is setting you straight.
So, where is it? What is this?
Really so, Monarch and the Milkweed, it's a gorgeous little cafe, and they actually started doing late night, and they have the most beautiful, like, delicious craft cocktails, and they have all these, like, CBD pastries, and all these regular pastries as well. It's so good. It's my fave.
Right next to Flatbread.
Yeah, right next to Flatbread. Also, Deli 126 is, like, this speakeasy jazz bar, and they have an insane cocktail list.
This is in Burlington?
Yeah, I'm like...
Yeah, what is wrong with you guys? You always don't get out very much.
And I'm like, let's go get something to eat. I
I'm
can't
in Vermont like once a year and I know all of this.
Know. Literally.
What's on the menu at the Sri Lankan Eco Cafe?
Yeah, so it's basically a fusion of, you know, my style of cooking, which is kind of like contemporary American. And then I have some Georgian dishes in there as well. And just kind of playing off of the local ingredients. I'm not making any like Sri Lankan food just because there's so much Sri Lankan food everywhere. So I like to bring a more familiar menu to tourists and locals as well. So I'm more like of a scrap kind of cook. Like I love looking in the fridge and just being like, all right.
What can I make?
I love that. And you have a yoga studio.
Yes.
So are you a teacher?
Yes,
instructor,
I'm a yoga teacher.
Instructor.
Yeah.
Did you miss doing yoga on the yacht, or did you?
I did. So there's a couple scenes I think that they included in the show where I'm kind of just on the top deck like doing my own
practice.
Thing. It just I'm a little bit like loose. Like my I'm very like high strung, high stress, very like type A, as I'm sure you guys can tell. So I need the yoga. I need it.
Do any of the passengers, do they ever ask you for like a, do they ever come on with an expectation? Like, I want to work out on this trip.
Yeah. I mean, some people like, I guess on Below Deck Med, no, I didn't even have time to teach anybody. I did do two classes, one for Hannah Nation, one for the boys. And that was really nice to share that with them. But, when I was working in the Caribbean, I would always take the guests on the dinghy to shore, and we would do a morning beach yoga, and then I'd cook for them. So.
Is there a
full service?
Is there a sweet spot of like, an age range where you can really do this job? Because it is uncomfortable. People do get families. They don't want to be gone for long periods of time. Like, is there like a sweet spot? Like, okay, you can only do this until you're X age.
I wouldn't say you can only do this until you're X age, because I definitely know like couples that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s who are still running yachts. But I would say, you know, in your like 20s, it's a good time to do it because, you know, it is uncomfortable. And, you know, the dark side of yachting is that like, you're working your ass off.
No sleep.
You have no sleep. You don't really live in a big, lush, comfy place. You're going to miss Christmases, birthdays, New Year's. Like, you miss a lot of stuff. And you just kind of have to be very adaptable. And you have to be able to kind of like be like, yeah, I don't really have attachments. I don't have a mortgage. I don't have a car. Like, I don't have any of those things. I'm just kind of free. So,
are you still friends with some of the crew or all the
hell
crew?
Yeah. Hell yeah, definitely. Yeah, I talked to them all.
Would you do it again?
I would do it again. I don't really see how I would kind of fit in it because, you know, they like to rotate the stewardesses and the deckhands and stuff. But, I mean, if they asked me, I would totally
Like, Hannah it. Goes back every year.
Yeah, but, you know, Hannah's hilarious.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Yeah.
What's it like on the yacht when the weather's bad? Like, is it nerve-wracking when there's waves
there's
and it's choppy, it's lightning?
Pressure.
Like, what's going on? I mean,
there's more pressure on the interior crew, like, including the chef, because, like, if the guests are stuck inside.
Oh.
You know, you got to make sure, you got to pull out every trick in your hand, like make it fun for them. Make sure they're drinking, first of all. Make sure they have lots of snacks. You know, maybe pull out some games for them or maybe put on a movie for them. Like, you know, you have to like be creative because if they can't go outside, you know, you the know, inside of the yacht's pretty, but it's not that great.
I know, like if you're stuck in there, you know what gets me so unnerved? Is that the right word?
Yes.
Is that... this is what would drive me crazy if I was on this show, is that when somebody's like, hey, we're having a birthday party, and Hannah's always been fantastic, and Kate's been amazing about this, and we want a themed birthday party to be like blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God, I hate those people.
I do, too. And then you guys pull out all the stops. You get decorations. You dress up in grass skirts. You dance. You sing. You make sure everything is like... I watch that and I am like, I'm like out of my mind.
Like my tip just went up 20%.
Literally. Yeah. So do you love that part? Do you love
that? I mean, I personally really like decorating and I love birthdays. Perfect. So like for me, I'm like, let's do it. But also like it's really rewarding when, you know, your crew comes together and you're just like, we have this idea, like let's pull this off. And then you see the look on their faces and you can just tell that it's so special that, you know, you went out of your way to like make something grand for them. Yeah. And people really do appreciate it.
I know they do. Yeah.
Thing you miss most about Vermont when you're gone?
Oh my God. Honestly,
and family is not the answer.
Yeah, family. Obviously my family and friends, but the things I miss most are definitely just the outdoors. Like I love hiking, swimming in the lake. Like, well, I don't swim in the lake recently.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know what I mean? Like the watering holes and all that stuff. The first thing I do when I get off the plane is I just like take a big breath. Because I'm like, this is the best air in the world. It really is.
Does it snow in Sri Lanka?
No.
Right, so it's always nice weather. I'm like, I'm not familiar.
Sri Lanka is near the Philippines.
Okay. Yeah, it's very, very hot.
Do you miss the snow ever?
I do. I've been in internal summer for like many years now. And all my ski and snowboard stuff is still actually in Whistler. That was the last time that
Whistler.
That I was able to get on my board. And I'm really missing the winters.
So where do you like to vacation? Because you've been to every desirable vacation place. Like, where do you like to go on vacation?
I mean, I really love an adventure. I love going places where, you know, there's a really cool food culture where there's cool places to like be outside. Hmm. That's kind of like my big thing. I like being outside. I like adventuring and I love just like eating all day.
Coolest thing that you've gotten to see, like Eiffel Tower, the Parthenon, like what's a cool thing you've gotten to see, a cool landmark?
A cool landmark while yachting?
You get to get off the yacht.
Yeah. Or just vacationing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I wasn't vacationing. I was there for my yoga teacher training, but being in India was like so magical. I was very scared to go at first, but
really,
you know, you read all these things and like, there's a lot of people and, you know, going as like a solo female traveler, like it can get kind of scary. So, but once I got there, I was like, this is the best place I've ever been. Like,
great place for yoga.
Absolutely. The food, the people, the culture, there's just this like magic.
How many languages do you speak?
Two, barely.
Okay. Would that be Georgian and English?
No, it's very sad. I don't speak Georgian.
Oh, really? Yeah, I just would have assumed. You said your dad is not from Georgia. He's actually from Burlington.
Well, yeah. My stepdad is a Vermonter.
Okay.
But, I don't know. Like, my mom and I are the only Georgians in Vermont. So, like, when we moved here, there's a huge Russian community. And I was always hearing Russian growing up. So, like, I speak some Russian. Obviously, I speak English. But Georgian kind of just fell to the side, which is sad. But
Mary, you got anything? I know you've been sitting on this interview for a week, so you've been.
I feel like
the questions have been stewing.
I feel like I've asked all the questions. Don't you feel like I think I've asked everything that I really wanted to know. I mean, that I can ask, right?
I know, because you really, really wanted the spoiler. Well, you didn't want the spoilers,
no,
but you do want the spoilers.
I got the spoiler. So, I got it. I just wanted to know like who's the most intimidating. But
intimidating.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, I was really nervous when I first got on the yacht and I saw Hannah. I was like, oh God, like, I hope that she likes me.
The way she went after Mila was like,
yeah, but you know what? Like, I honestly, kudos to Hannah for holding it together for that long.
Yeah.
I mean, Mila, she needed to be taken down a peg. Like, she was just too, and then, you know, I don't see it obviously until it airs, but like seeing the stuff that she was like, oh, screw you, third stewardess, blah, blah, blah. Like her attitude, I was just like, you know what? I'm not in here because I'm like, move aside. Like, I got this. Like, I've been asked by our captain.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're going to be here and give me crap for helping you, like.
Did she really not know that the food was bad?
That's why I'm
really
like,
think
I'm
like, the food was good.
When she brought out the tacos that like looked like something I could make. Like,
I know.
Like, you could make
good
that.
Good on Hannah for not serving it, you know? It's just, it's not acceptable.
I guess my last question is, we talk about culture and talk about, you know, where you grew up and how you grew up in your family and all that. It's a big blending of culture on the yacht itself.
Oh,
you have crew members, I think, with English accents, people from New Zealand. You have people from Russia. You have people from everywhere. I mean, what's it like for you as kind of a cultural melting pot?
I love it. I mean, that's one of the biggest perks of the yachting industry, honestly. Like, I have friends in every continent.
That's
you
cool.
know, like, I can go to so many countries and be like, and hit up so-and-so and so-and-so, and they'll be like, yeah, you can, like, that's crash great. On my couch or whatever. Like, it's really, really cool and it's special to be able to connect with so many different cultures. And it shapes you as a person, too. You just have a much broader view. Like, I think of some of my friends and people I know here in Vermont who have literally, like, never left Vermont, even like cross state lines, and I'm like, the world is so much bigger than
you
know.
Right.
So much bigger.
And for somebody who likes to cook, I always go to food when I talk about meeting people in other like cultures or countries. I bet the food part must be fun to like.
I love it. I mean, I love eating, I love cooking, I love learning about different techniques. Like, I love taking like local cooking classes in all of the countries I go to.
So you talk about food, I talk about sports.
I know.
It's like, okay, we'll talk about whatever sport is native in that area. That's how I will make my
Sri Lanka has cricket and volleyball.
Yes, that is how I will make my friends. Since I since pizza and wings don't translate to all around the world, sports does. So Anastasia, this has been a lot of fun. Mary, this has been a lot of fun. I've appreciated
you for inviting me to be a part of this because I really wanted to meet you.
Yay.
Well, you're awesome.
Oh, thank you. You guys are great.
Well, Vermont's own Anastasia from Below Deck Med. You can check it out Mondays on Bravo. And when this airs, we'll be 6 or 7 episodes in at this point. So we'll look forward to seeing how the rest of the season plays out.
I can't wait.